Hey everyone, it's Clarissa here from the Thriving Through Menopause podcast. You know, as I talk to women around the world, I know that more than ever, we're looking for holistic ways to manage our menopause and to feel empowered that we're in control of our own health and healing during this vital life transition. I sit down each week with amazing guests to talk about ideas, strategies, approaches, and opportunities to help us thrive through menopause. Episodes drop every Tuesday, so I hope that you'll join us. And I have a little request for you. If you find value from the stories, lessons, and wisdom that we share, I'd like you to support this podcast. One way you can do that is to hop on to wherever you listen to podcasts and like and subscribe, share it so that others can hear the messages too. Don't forget, episodes drop every Tuesday, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of this community. Welcome to this week's episode of Thriving Through Menopause with me, Clarissa Christensen, and shadow work. That's something I started to learn a little bit more about this summer when I started working with one of our previous guests. And when I've now got the opportunity to dig a bit deeper into it, I was delighted to invite today's guest onto the show. She's Junie Moon. Welcome, Junie, to Thriving Through Menopause.
It's so good to be here. Thank you. And shadow work is definitely my favorite topic. So,
hey. I mean, let me introduce you to the listeners first. I mean, you are the CEO of Midlife Love Out Loud. You are worked in the field of empowerment, a love mentor, and you're a shadow work specialist. And I'm very excited. And of course, the dog is barking.
The dog is excited too. He's like, what?
But I'm really excited to dig in. And I think for my listeners to learn a little bit more about what shadow work is and, you know, why it's so important. But I might start there actually about what is shadow work.
Okay, great. So to talk about shadow work, we need to start with what the shadow is, all right? So when you think about a shadow, it's behind you. It's something that you may not see. You can't grab it. It's away from you. And unless you look for it, you may not know it's there. And so for people, when we say we're working with our shadows or we have a shadow, it's the part of our personality, part of our being that we hide, part of us that we've disowned, part of us that we think is bad or wrong or shameful or ugly, or I don't want anybody to see it. And so at a very young age, when we start to get messages from our culture, from our parents, well-meaning parents, and our instincts as a human being is to survive, to be safe, we start cutting off parts of who we are. We say, well, when dad yelled at me for not doing my homework, I realized, you know, that was really scary for me that, you know, he yelled and he was so angry. So maybe anger is not something that's a safe thing to be. I don't want to be like that. It scared me. So let me take anger and throw it away in shadow. Or if maybe one of your parents or a teacher was very critical, and you got a message that something was wrong with you, or it felt really painful to be criticized for something, you might have made a decision, oh, being critical is mean. I don't want to be like that. And even lovely things like our exuberance or being a bright light, we might have gotten the message, tone it down, you're too big, you're too bright, and we threw away our light in shadow. And so throwing away any aspect of who we are, squashing down and trying to hide any aspect of who we are, it's painful. And then that energy, it's just energy. It can come out sideways. We start saying things we don't mean. We start doing things we don't want to do, like people pleasing. If we throw away our anger, we may not be expressing ourselves truthfully. So maybe we're walking on eggshells, or maybe we're trying to make everybody happy and that way we'll be loved. But we know that doesn't work. And so shadow work shines a light on the shadows, shines a light on the parts of us that we think are bad or wrong or ugly. And we learn how to take back our power in a healthy, conscious way so that we can express our anger in a healthy way without it being harmful, or have a critical eye without it being mean-spirited, or being able to shine our light without the fear of judgment. And so shadow work is a personal growth work model. And there's a lot of people saying they're doing shadow work, and there's different ways of doing shadow work. And I'm trained in the shadow work, the trademark shadow work by Cliff Berry and Mary Ellen Wallen, where we do special processes to help you see what's in shadow and then reclaim the truth of who you are.
Yeah. And that's beautiful, because I think all of us are sitting here probably thinking, I can relate to that so much of all those things. And you're right. I think it comes out sideways. And everybody has a shadow, don't they, Junie?
I believe that. I haven't met anyone that doesn't. Because, you know, we're not just talking about what we've learned in this lifetime. We're talking about thousands of years of experience as a human being, that wiring of being safe, you know, thousands of years of programming saying, don't get kicked out of the tribe or you're not going to survive. So we come into this life with already this kind of unconscious programming of survival. And survival is going to say, do whatever it takes so that you're safe, that you will be loved, that you will survive. So it's a double whammy there, that, you know, what's in our blood, what's in our history and our DNA that we bring into the world, and then all these delicious experiences we have embodied now. And we cut off things and we hide aspects of ourselves so that we can feel safe.
Yeah. And we fit in then, because when you fit in, you are safe. You're part of that tribe, as you said.
Exactly. Not on the outside. We do not want to not fit in. But that's that it doesn't necessarily work when we try to fit in and it's not really our authentic self.
No. And of course, women, I think, are they not, Junie, particularly subject to these rules and norms?
I think men and women both are. We just have different shadows. Men don't necessarily have the I better not be too much or too bright, because they got different messages like don't feel, don't be vulnerable, don't look weak. So men and women both have pretty darn big shadow things to address. We just have different aspects and different experiences in our life that has shaped us.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I often think, though, as women, we're often really forced into boxes, but I suppose men are too, because there are stereotypical how a man is supposed to behave and show up. So when you don't, that's there. But for women, we're very good at conforming to norms and lots of other people's norms, aren't we?
Exactly. Be the good little girl. You're the one that's supposed to be the caretaker. Don't be selfish. Yeah, we get those messages.
We do. And then we reach menopause and then we decide not to conform anymore.
Yes, party on.
Well, I think that's when we stop, kind of. Sometimes it's like we've had a brain shift, and obviously we've had other guests talk about brain shifts here, but something happens and that can be quite challenging, can't it, Junie? Because suddenly we're not wanting to conform, but we may not know how to work with our shadow.
Yeah, people call that a midlife crisis, and I call it a midlife opportunity, a midlife awakening. Yeah, something happens when we get around 40, 45, where we've checked off all the boxes. We've done all the right things. We've conformed, as you said, and suddenly don't feel fulfilled or feel like we've missed out or feel like we don't even know who we are. And there's so many different aspects that show up, especially in the love realm. I mean, I do dating and relationship coaching. And so people come to their 40s and they go, is this all there is? I don't think I've ever felt loved or safer, being able to really have deep love and intimacy. And that's when things start to really show up. And you know, it's a crossroads. We can stay in the box of what we know and play it small and get through, because sometimes it's very uncomfortable to change, right? Change is not something we like. Change enters us into the mystery. And with that said, if we don't stretch our comfort zone, if we don't try new things, we're going to have the same experience and we're going to be missing out on the richness and fullness of what's possible in life, especially in love and relationships. So it can feel very chaotic. But the thing about chaos, it's sort of like cleaning out your closet. Sometimes your bedroom gets a lot messier before it gets more organized. And sometimes you're like, why did I even start? But then you have the clean closet and then you can just go, oh my God, how did I live like this before? And I also have to say that people often tell me, ooh, shadow work sounds so scary. Looking at these parts that are in shadow and, you know, this is going to be really uncomfortable. And I offer to anyone that might be thinking that it's way more scary and painful and uncomfortable living the way you're living by not knowing what's in shadow. Because if you don't know what's running your life, what's in the unconscious mind behind you going, don't do that, be careful, you know, you're going to be bad. What are people going to think? Who do you think you are? Like, if you don't really know how to be with that and shine a light on what's behind you, then you are not living in the present moment. You're living in the past. And when we can shine a light on the shadows, it's sort of like when we were kids, mommy, there's a monster. There's a monster under the bed. And what does mom do? Okay, honey, I'm right here. Let's turn on the lights. Let me look. There's nothing here. Come look underneath the bed. There's nothing here. Yeah. And suddenly it's not as scary. So it can feel uncomfortable. It's a new realm. The alternative is not looking and continuing to have the pain and limitations and missing out on the juiciest parts of life.
Yeah, that's really, really true. And of course, if we don't get help, we're quite good at messing it up, aren't we, as we try to change? How do we end up sabotaging ourselves?
Yes, great, great question. So sabotage, well, let me back up and say that in this body of work, there's a part that we identify inside of us called the risk manager. And this part inside of us has come on board probably from your first breath. But maybe you'll identify it as I start sharing that somewhere along the way, you had an experience in life and it hurt you. It scared you. It was painful. And that part said, ooh, I don't want that to happen again. Let's come up with some strategies so you don't have to face that risk anymore of loss, of judgment, from judgment, criticism, whatever it was. And so that part comes online and starts to orchestrate different behaviors so that you can avoid pain. And that's a smart move. It's a really smart move. It's a protection to get you through, especially when you were younger and you didn't have tools. However, you bring all that into your adulthood and you're still doing the same behaviors of avoiding, walking on eggshells, trying to be the good little girl, not be too big, not express yourself. And suddenly you have a very different experience. You're holding yourself back and sabotaging some of the most important things in your life, like your career, your kids, your family, your intimate partnerships. Because that part is on high alert, it's still thinking you're in big danger and it's keeping you in tow and making sure that you don't cross a line. Yeah. And so the sabotage on one hand is a protective mechanism. On the other hand, it's overshooting when we're older, unless you've done the shadow work, unless you've done some of that healing work that shows you it's not as risky as it used to be. It's okay to go and meet somebody on a date and share with them up to a point that feels safe to you and to maybe enter into a relationship or to take your relationship to the next level or change something in your life with your career, whatever it is, that risk manager is going to keep doing its same strategies until you change, until you see differently, until you update the risk manager so it sees that you can try some new things on and you're not going to die by doing it. But when you were a kid, it was way more scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, when that risk manager's operating, people stay stuck, don't they, in relationships that don't work Or don't they say things like, well, online dating doesn't work or something like that. So they have this sort of self-fulfilling prophecies when it comes to life and relationships.
Absolutely. And we have our beliefs, and it's a great belief to keep you from opening up your heart if there's a belief that there are no good men out there, you know, online dating sucks. And granted, online dating is definitely challenging. However, what I've seen over and over with my clients is when they've done the shadow work and they have the inner connection with their hearts and their inner soulmate in alignment, and they've unpacked a lot of these beliefs, and then they learn online dating strategies that are actually really productive, that they don't hate it as much. They've actually learned how to enjoy it and move forward. So whatever piece of your life it is, when you can hone in on that part that is overworking and creating these messages and these beliefs that have you thinking you can't do something, things will shift and you will feel empowered and strong and confident and clear. And then everything changes. Quick story. Because you were saying about feeling stuck. This one woman came to me, and I think she was out of her marriage for like two and a half years, and she was ready. She really wanted to start to meet somebody, but she kept sabotaging herself. She would try to go online, but then she would just wig out. If she had a date, she would overeat and then feel ugly and just cancel the date. She kept getting in her own way, and she didn't understand why. She wanted the partner. She wanted to get out there, but she kept stopping herself. She was in a lot of fear too, because she had a very abusive relationship. And so we started doing the shadow work. Within a couple of months, a couple of deep sessions, she had this huge aha. She suddenly catapulted back to when she was a teenager. And she remembered an incident with her father who really shamed her for liking boys, shamed her for dating boys, called her some names when she was a teenager. And in that moment, she dropped into the shame and I'm a bad girl and I want to be the good little girl for my dad. And she looked at me, and I'll never forget this. She looked at me and she said, is this why I am sabotaging myself? Is this why I'm holding myself back because of what happened with my dad? And I said, I don't know. However, this is typically how it works. You had an experience that was really painful and shameful, and now there's a part of you that wants to go date, quote, boys and men. And there's a part of you that might be scared that you're going to be judged by daddy. And that wasn't reality. However, it was still in her unconscious mind of don't do that. Otherwise, you know, fill in the blank, some of the names that she was called. And as soon as we released it and shifted and she got back her power and she updated her risk manager, she met a guy soon out the gate within a few weeks, and she had a wonderful relationship with him. So things can change. So if you're stuck, if you're questioning, if you think you're broken, you're not. There's just something you might be missing. There are blind spots, and there are a reason you have those blind spots.
Yeah. And they apply, don't they, Junie, not just in love and dating, but in
everything.
Part of a career. Yeah.
Every single thing, the way you relate to your body and health and wellness and careers and every single thing you have in your life, you can be getting in the way of because of old beliefs you took on. You know, even a lot of people, oh, I want more money. I want to be abundant. Well, maybe you got a message that rich people are snobby. Rich people don't, you know, aren't generous. Rich people, you know, look like that. And, you know, spiritual people are, you know, they don't have a lot of money, but they're kind and giving. So all these beliefs keep you and from having this amazing life. And then, you know, you look at Oprah Winfrey. Do you look at her as snobby or selfish? I mean, this woman is one of the most giving, loving people that has given us so much, especially for women. So, you know, we have to look at the beliefs behind what it is that we want or why we hold ourselves back. What would happen if you actually get what you want? What are your judgments if you actually get what you want? Because that's where you need to go.
Exactly. And as you said, these come from generations. When I did my shadow work, I realized that some of the things that I had went back generations. I did the ancestry work, and I was like, Oh, heck, these things go back about 5 or 6 generations. And they didn't go in every generation, but they kept popping up and they kept popping up. And then it was like, okay, now I get it.
Exactly.
Now I get this crap that I've been getting.
Yes, our very giving parents tend to give us exactly what they got and their parents got their parents got, because it's what they learned. And then we hopefully come to this place and say, this isn't working. I don't like this. This is getting in my way. And then we start to see more clearly, and we have the hopefully the courage, you know, to face everything and rise. Fear. Take that fear acronym, face everything and rise, and take it to another level of courage to say no more. I can have a very different life.
Yeah. Are you looking for balance, inner harmony, a sense of well-being without needing to resort to quick fixes or medication-only approaches? Well, you're not alone. Clear guidance on how to thrive through menopause is hard to come by, and it's scattered all over the place. But my new book, Beyond Hormones, 7 Holistic Ways to Thrive Through Menopause, is a beacon for women. We're not just offering coping mechanisms, but practical pathways to manage perimenopause and menopause holistically. So if you're looking for a scientifically backed yet digestible guide to thriving through menopause, look no further. The book is available everywhere that you can buy books. So how do we actually go about breaking some of these painful patterns, which are ingrained?
Well, first, let me just say that there's so many modalities out there, and there's different places and pieces to the puzzle. So wherever you are, just keep going. Just keep going. And one of the things I do see in the personal growth realm is most of the personal growth out there is just helping you look and see what's going on. Let me look at my shadow. Let me figure stuff out in therapy, why I am the way I am. Let me read some books and understand my wiring. And that is a first step, to understand, be aware, and acknowledge that there's something going on. So that's the first step. That's typically where most personal growth ends, though. People become aware, and then they get frustrated because they're like, well, now I understand this, but why is it not changing?
Yeah.
So 5% of our brain is conscious. So that's the 5%. We're like, oh, this is why I am the way I am. So to really heal and change and transform, we need to dip into the unconscious realm. We need to get beyond how we're thinking and get into the operating system of our bodies and find out what is the wiring, what are the neural pathways, what is the brain actually doing that is making us feel this way. And so that's the beauty about shadow work, the model that I've been taught, is it's special processes where we get to drop in to our new state of being. We get to feel the empowerment. We get to feel the self-love. We get to feel the confidence by shifting and transforming the old patterns into new patterns. And so to heal it, you need to spot it. And most of the time, it's hard to see your shadow by yourself. So having somebody like me with a love flashlight to kind of go, okay, consciously, step by step, let's look and see. Oh, okay. So this is what's going on. This is what your challenge is. What are some of your beliefs around getting it or not getting it? What might happen? And we start to unfold all the different nuances. And then people can take a stand for what they want. And maybe that's really flaming with our warrior energy. I deserve this. And taking a stand and putting a stake in the ground and owning our power and saying, my voice matters, my truth matters, and feeling that in our energy, in our bodies. Or maybe it's giving ourselves a new message of, you deserve it, sweetie. You deserve love. You deserve to be seen. You deserve to have all the riches that life has to offer. And so to heal it, you kind of need to feel it. And to have support around it, I think, is huge, because this work, I don't think, is meant to be done alone. Yes, there are ways to do it on your own. There's something to be said about entering into the shadowlands with support, because it's old and it can be scary. And you need somebody that can help you see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. This is not work I think we can do on our own either.
Yeah, we can start. We can scratch the surface. Yeah. I mean, people say, how do I identify what's in shadow? So I have my ways when I work one-on-one with people, for sure. Like that woman who was like, oh, yes. My gosh, I didn't remember that moment with my dad. That was in the shadows. That memory was long gone, but suddenly it was there. But for right now, if you just think about people that get under your skin, qualities in people that really irk you, not just, oh, I don't like people like that, but God, I really hate people that are so arrogant or so full of themselves, or even people that you admire. Oh, I so admire. She's so creative. She's so great at speaking. She's such a bright light. So there's a saying, if you spot it, you got it. So whether it's a what you think is a negative quality, like aggression or arrogance, or beautiful quality, like exuberance or creativity, if you're noticing a big reaction by looking at somebody else, there's something that happened inside of you that has given you a shadow around that energy where you've lost access fully to that characteristic. So that's a good way for you to at least spot what might be in shadow for you. Again, that's conscious mind. And then to get beyond it, you need to do the shadow work.
And that's when we get into things like journeying and dream work, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, different types of journeying. I mean, some people like to do plant medicine. I remember when I did ayahuasca, I did a shamanic journey when I was 50. And as we were moving through this whole week of all these exercises before we even did the plant medicine, I said to my shaman, this is shadow work. It was just a different modality of seeing beyond reality and seeing what was really happening and why.
Yeah, because I can share that I did use essential oils as part of my journey. And of course, we think of them as being nice things in the bath, but you know, these were very selected for particular stages along the journey, and we'd smell them as we did the journeying work. So that they were like sort of allies on the journey. They were very powerful.
Essential oils are plant medicine. You know, you don't have to go hallucinate to work with essential oils. I mean, essential oils don't have to be hallucinogenic. I mean, they're powerful. Plants are so wise. And if you know when to use them and how to use them, you know, like mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris, I think is the Latin. You know, you pick some when it's fresh, you put it under your pillow, you're going to have more dreams than you usually are used to. And it opens up supposedly the third eye. So plant medicine is very powerful.
Yeah, definitely. Plant medicine is amazing and can be just be used very simply, as you say, under our pillows. We can have teas. We can do all sorts of things with plants that are safe and have experiences and go to the unconscious mind. Maybe we can't tap into that so easily. Otherwise, we need assistance.
So, yes, and because I am just coming out of a week-long intensive retreat with Dr. Joe Dispenza. Are you familiar with this work
at
all?
I am familiar with him, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, yes, these plants and other outside influences can help us open and transform and take our healing to the other level. And Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, which complements and is very similar to my work, in my opinion, helps us go in. And that everything that we need is inside of us. The question is, how do we get to it? And that's where, as a facilitator, a shadow work facilitator, that I help people go in to see what's going on inside. And so, yes, there's that aspect of it's on the outside, but at the same time, doing deep meditations and doing journaling and spending some really quality time with yourself using specific tools. And I give people tools to continue to do the shadow work. You can then do it on your own, on your own path in different ways. So there's lots of tools and lots of paths to get to the unconscious mind to heal.
Yes. And sometimes it can bring up some really strong emotions, can't it, Jeannie?
Yeah. In fact, one of the challenging things for me with shadow work when I first started, which was a long time ago, was finding a place to actually do it because there were, you know, I needed to have sound safety because sometimes people would really tap into their anger and would want to rage and like in a safe way to be able to finally scream and yell and be able to express their pain when they couldn't when they were younger. And sometimes people go into deep grief and just weep. Now, you don't necessarily have to make loud noises. However, emotions that have been stored in our body and stuck in our body for decades. You could imagine having a garbage can sealed for decades. You open up that baby, it's going to stink. It's going to reek. It's going to fill up your whole friggin' house. So, yeah. So emotions do come up. And the beauty is when we can be with our emotions, honor our emotions, it is so freeing, and it's our birthright. Emotions are our birthright to be able to feel, and they inform us on how we want to be in our life. If we're feeling sad, then let's feel the sadness and ask, what do we need? If we're feeling anger, what boundary might we need to set, or what might we need to express? There's so much there. And with that said, because, you know, some big emotions might come up, people are really scared. Oh my, you know, somebody will be on the edge of expressing themselves sometimes when I work with them, and now it's on Zoom, so no worry about sound for me. But somebody be like, you know, I they might have resistance or they might shut down their emotion. And so we go there. Well, what's at risk for you to share right now? What's at risk for you to express your anger or to speak your truth? And a lot of people are just scared that they may not stop. That their anger might just consume them, or that their sadness might just have them in a ball and they may not be able to function anymore. And of course, step by step with facilitation, they learn that not only can they go into that emotion, that there's so much power there and that they are safe. And then they have access to all that rich, beautiful energy to use in any way they want.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we are afraid to express our emotions. And maybe perimenopause, menopause are times when our emotions do want to come out.
Yeah. You know, you just brought up a memory. I studied, since we were talking about plant medicine, you mentioned essential oils. I studied with Susan Weed, who's a very well-known herbal teacher many, many, many years ago, decades ago. And I always remember she said that when you start to hit menopause, the unresolved emotions, the stuff that you didn't heal or deal with will come up. And I remember her saying menopause will be harder on the people that haven't done the work. And so you might go, well, I'm having a horrible menopause or perimenopause. I must be really screwed up. I must have not done the work. So that could be one way you look at it. I invite you to look at, again, whatever you're going through, if there's stuff coming up, this is the most amazing opportunity to finally face it and heal it. Face everything and rise. And sometimes it can be uncomfortable. And if you don't do the work, if you don't do the healing work, not only will it impact all of your relationships and certainly your relationship to yourself, but that's why people are getting so sick and having all these diseases, because they have dis-ease. So we must unpack. We must come back to our true selves so that we can have a magical life. And that's why I do the work I do, because I didn't even share my story and I won't go into it in depth, but I'll just say this, you know, I walked on eggshells. I didn't express myself. I was terrified of being me. I dimmed my light and I was in a very unhealthy marriage for years. So those are the cliff notes until I woke up and said, this sucks. I'm 200 pounds. I'm 5'3". I'm miserable. And that's when my journey began. So I could have stayed stuck in the, my life sucks and I'm in pain and I'm broken. However, I was blessed with finding a path. And that's why I chose to help the women now with their love lives. But people come to me for lots of different reasons. But I focus on self-love, empowerment, and helping women in midlife claim this precious stage of life, because I did. And if I can friggin' have an awesome life and feel empowered and happy and joyful and bright and not care what people think, you can too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think We may have to go through a few iterations of this as well, because it isn't maybe once, is it?
Yeah. And you know, in general, I also see women have a challenging time receiving love, receiving support. So lean in, you know, everybody lean in and see what else is there, because I promise you it's so worth it. I promise you, when you start this journey of looking at why you hold yourself back or why you're suffering, you have the hugest opportunity for expansion and brilliance in your life beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah. And I think menopause is such a great time to do it, because we're going to step into the next chapter of our life. So if we heal the shadow, we can actually really embrace, you know, this life that we can have on the other side of all the stuff we've had to do.
Yeah, we have more choice too. We have more choice because we're more conscious of what we want, what we don't want, how we want it to be. And then we can also spot when the shadow starts to creep back in. We can go, oh, yep, nope, old story. Thank you, but not necessary. And then you claim it again and you claim it again. And the neural pathways, your brain starts to change and you become a different person. I do not recognize the person I used to be. I look back and I bless her. And trust me when I say, a whole different person.
That is such a beautiful message for women to take away, that doing the shadow work could make you a whole different person.
And a much better person, a much happier person. Yeah. Because even just that might be, oh, I'm going to change. Boy, you know, what's going to happen? Well, it is the mystery. And the question is, are you willing to lean into the mystery to have something greater, to have something more magical? Because it is. Because when you can be more kind to yourself, when you can be more compassionate to yourself, when you can open up your heart and be more gentle with yourself and love yourself the way you would love your child, the way you would be wonderful to your best friends, imagine how that will feel.
Amazing. And then we've healed ourselves internally as well. We've kind of healed the feminine and the masculine inside ourselves, haven't we?
Everyone we come in contact with. And that's why I also love the work that I do and the shadow work, because I really truly believe that every heart that is healed, every woman on this planet that learns how precious and beautiful and deserving of love she is, the more of her heart is full, the more it'll trickle out into every part of the planet. And boy, do we need more love more than ever.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Ginny, I love that we've had a whistle-top stop tour of shadow work, because we know it's deep and there's so much to unpack and keep on unpacking. And obviously, as you said, there's many different ways to do this work.
Yeah.
But Ginny, how can people get in contact with you and work with you?
Thank you for asking. Yes, the name of my company is Midlife Love Out Loud. So midlifeloveoutloud.com has so many resources, including a wonderful quiz that's called Discover Your Love Avatar, and helps you see how relationship ready you are. So that is a really cool gift that you can grab on my website. I also have a podcast called Midlife Love Out Loud. Midlife Love Out Loud, just punch it in. You'll see it all over the place. I'm on Instagram. I have a Facebook, I do have a Facebook page that way too. But the YouTube channel has wonderful interviews and golden nuggets. And so just find something that you want to dig into and reach out to me. If you have any questions, I'd be thrilled to talk to you.
That's fantastic, Ginny. We'll put the links to everything in our show notes so you, the listeners, can go there, take advantage of the resources. And of course, you know, maybe work with Ginny, because, you know, healing our shadow really, as you said, opens up new opportunities and a new way of living. Thank you, Ginny, for coming on Thriving Through Menopause. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on and sharing this, what I believe the most important message on the planet, which is to love more and love ourselves.
That's a brilliant message. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Ginny.
I felt that I learned so much about the shadow work and how important it is to address our shadow, particularly in menopause, where there's a real chance for us to regroup and think about how we want our life to be going forward. Next week, I'm joined by Laurie Gerber, and she is one of the foremost dating coaches for women over 50. And I'm sure you're going to learn a lot if you're still single and looking to meet a new partner or maybe your first great love. And my request to you is if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it so more women can benefit from the wisdom of my guests. Until next time, go well.